on a podcast already?
Check 1 2. Check 1 2. Check 1 2. Check 1 2.
I didn't know that.
What's up, listeners? Welcome back to another riveting episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Tonight, we have a special episode in store for you all. I have with me Matt and Zach tonight. Say hello, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, so before we get into the actual episode tonight, I have some business we got to take care of, friends. So on Thursday, March 18th, so this is just a few days away now, our friends at Electric City Esports, they're having their first tournament, and it's going to be Call of Duty Warzone Rumble in the Solos. There is a $15 entry fee per player. You have to be 18 or older to enter. There is a cash prize pool. The time stamp on this, guys, is going to be 4 to 7, and that's Eastern time. They're going to be live streaming on Twitch, so it's going to be twitch.tv/electriccityesports, and you can sign up at the website that I'm going to give you now. So you have to sign up before you can, you know, join and play. So the sign up link is going to be esportsstation.net. esportsstation.net. So this is going to be their first tournament, and you know, they're friends of ours. They've been on the show before. We are super excited to be, you know, hyping this for them. And it's going to be a three hour best out of three matches.
Oh wow.
So Call of Duty Warzone, friends, at esportsstation.net. So get your entries in and sign up and go play some Call of Duty with our friends at Electric City Esports.
And Jen, just to piggyback on that, I mean, I've been telling my students about that this week and last week, obviously the week before that when we were handed the information. It sounds like I have a couple interested attendees that'll probably be going through it, so I hope that they do it. But again, it's great that you're putting that information out there, because that's also a reminder to them, because they listen to our episodes all the time. So
yeah, so we're gonna have this up again. We mentioned it once on the podcast before, I think 2 weeks ago. So
we mentioned 2 weeks ago. Yep.
Yeah, so now the time is now if you have not signed up for the tournament. So better do it.
The final bell
sooner than later. Yes, the final bell. So it is time. Get your entry fees in and enjoy the tournament, friends. It's going to be pretty awesome. I'm really excited for Matt and Chris.
I think that's pretty cool. I think we should try and chime in. I wonder if we could stream it, like if we could actually watch it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think if you go to the Twitch/Electric City Esports, you'll be able to see it.
Yep, and we have our Garlic Jar account with Twitch already, so we could probably just pop in on it, you know?
Yeah, we could.
So that'll be pretty cool.
Check on everybody. So yeah, there's also one other order of business that I have to announce. Ooh. That Matt and Zach do not know this information yet. So I was talking to our friend Sean, who, as you guys know, as the listeners, is our JFK expert. In-house expert, and he has decided that he is going to create his own podcast.
That is fantastic.
So Sean and his sidekick Nate the Great, they are going to be starting their own podcast, and it's going to be called History's Truth Masters.
Nice.
Yes, so
I love the name.
Yeah, so we're gonna help them get up and running, and I will be in touch with everybody once, you know, they have some episodes recorded and ready to upload. So I'll let you guys know when that's been green lit.
That's great.
So everybody keep your eyes peeled for that.
And you know what? I think that's really suitable for Sean and anybody that participates in his podcast program.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. He's a good storyteller. He's very in-depth with what he explains. And, like, just from the JFK episodes, I mean, they have done so well.
I know. I've been telling him forever he needs to write a book, but I think, you know, in this day and age, I think a podcast would be pretty awesome. And I know he had a really good time recording with us, so.
Well, that's great. Yeah. I wish him a lot of luck. So whenever that project is going to start up, that's great.
Yeah.
I know we're going to have him on for more specials in the future, mm-hmm. so we do look forward to that.
Yep, and then know? I think he asked if we would pop over there for some episodes, too, so which, of course, we will.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm really excited for Sean and Nate as well.
And, you know, real quick, just another plug-in. Since, you know, we're in such tight cahoots here with so many other people that do podcasts throughout the week. And another one that I really want to kind of push out there is obviously Matt Wash, Cush and the Gang, Falling Down the Rankings.
Okay.
Really great stuff. Again, we've had Matt on for some Star Wars episodes.
Yeah, we did.
But the gang is pretty good. They go through breakdowns. They definitely do top rankings in which they think, of, obviously, of a topic that they're presenting during the week. They go through it, they break it down, and they look at their favorites, and they put them in top rankings. So, nice. Yeah, you guys should definitely check them out. They're called Falling Down the Rankings. You can find them on Amazon. You can find them on Apple. You can find them on, I believe, Google now, too.
Nice.
And, yeah, so check them out.
All right, so we're about ready to dive in for the topics tonight. Tonight's episode, our episode number 42, we're going with the title, The Cecil Hotel, An American Horror Story. So right there with the title, guys, if that doesn't give you an inkling of what our episode is going to be tonight, if you have not watched the doc series on Netflix, or if you just, like, you know, have zero knowledge of the Cecil Hotel, then you might want to, like, mm-hmm. skip over this episode and come back to us at a later time. Because we're going to be talking in depth about the Cecil yeah. Hotel.
That's going to be a heavy subject tonight, definitely.
Yes. So.
And, Jen, real quick, I mean, it's kind of cool because I love how you came up with this title. And it never hit, it never hit me at first there to think that it was based off American Horror Story.
Oh yeah, so like
right?
American Horror Story Hotel. I don't remember what season number that was, but that's
that
the
was
first...
the one with Lady Gaga.
Yes,
right?
That's the first time we see yes. Lady Gaga as the Countess. La La Gaga. Yeah.
You were going to say La La Gaga. Yeah.
Word vomit. So
I wish you said
yeah,
that.
Lady Gaga. So yes, Stephanie Germanotta. I think that's her real name. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we see her as the Countess, and like, wasn't she like some sort of like vampire weirdo thing? I haven't seen that
she
one
was.
In a while.
Yeah, she was. She was like a vampire. Like, I don't want to call her a mistress.
Yeah,
but she was. I mean, I think she was her lead vampire.
Yeah, she was the Countess. Role. I think
right,
that's what
the
her
Countess.
Title
yep.
was. So yeah, so that's the first time mm-hmm. we saw her pop up in American Horror Story, and I think like in acting in general, right? Like, isn't that what opened the door for acting for her?
If you really want to go back and you want to consider her back in the early days, she was on MTV's
yeah, but
shows when she was a teen. Remember?
Like
that was like the prank show. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah, but she wasn't known for her singing at that time.
Right.
She was literally just a contestant on one of those shows.
Right.
And yeah, I think that was really her first appearance on television, but. Yeah, I mean, this is really her big breakout for acting. It, you know, obviously after that, she had the movie with Bradley Cooper.
Yep.
And, I mean, everybody knows that that was a smash hit.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm really excited for her next movie.
She is doing another project.
Yeah, she's in Italy right now shooting with Adam mm-hmm. Driver from, you know, everybody knows him from, like, Star Wars
mm-hmm.
as Kylo Ren. I love him.
Best Star Wars villain in the galaxy.
That's debatable, but I love him.
No, I'm just...
And they're doing like about the Gucci murder. So like the designer Gucci when he was killed.
Okay.
So they're shooting that right now in Italy.
That's pretty cool.
And like she posted a like behind the scenes photo, like a first look of like her and Adam, and they just look identical to like, you know, their real person counterparts.
Well, the depictions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good casting choices. Well,
that's really cool. I can't wait for that because honestly, I think she not only is she a great performer in music and a great singer, but she could really nail the acting role really well too.
Yeah, but you
that's
see,
what
like,
I mean, you got to give her kudos.
I will watch anything Adam Driver is in. I love him. I'm a super fan.
Well, let me ask you this before we start up. Did you ever see the movie? Because I didn't get to see it, and I don't know what the name of it is. Maybe you could help me on this. But he was in a movie with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that was Marriage Story.
Yeah, did you see that?
Of course I saw that, yes.
Was that any good?
Yeah, it's very good. He hasn't put out a bad movie.
Okay.
So, like, I've been watching Adam Driver. I think the first thing, one of the first things that he's, like, known for is Girls on HBO. He was one of, like, the characters in Girls with Lena Dunham.
Gotcha.
So, he's done, like, stuff before that, but I feel like that and Star Wars were, like, his breakout roles.
Well, yeah, I think Star Wars kind of catapulted him big time.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And then he's done, like, you know, lots since then. Like, Black Klansman, The Report, Marriage Story, cool. Tons of shit.
Good.
So, I'm really looking forward to House of Gucci. Really looking forward to it.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that we want to acknowledge here too early on is that we have forwarded into the next season here. So it's officially spring 2021.
Yeah, I'm still feeling the time change. Like, I'm exhausted.
Me too. That night of losing an hour, I mean, it definitely hit this year. I mean, man, I just wish we could get rid of the whole daylight savings
time.
Me
too. I really wish, because I know a lot of states, like, after Saturday's, you know, changing, I know a lot of states are considering getting rid of it, and I really wish Pennsylvania was one of them.
Yeah, that would be very helpful.
So, like, could you imagine going through, like, all winter and it's, like, super light out, you know, like, at night? Yep. Like, ugh, I would love it. I would love it.
Well, happy spring, everybody.
I still don't even think it's, like, spring yet, though, because it was, like, 20 degrees today. Doesn't feel like spring. That was bullshit.
No. Well, what do you think it felt like? Was it more like fall or something? Or
winter. It's 20 degrees. It's like winter, Matt.
Okay. Because I'm not going to lie. I mean, the weekend, there was like that transition of like, wow, it felt like a fall day. And then, because it was kind of like a high temperature there on Friday, but still a little chill in the air. And then, of course, on the weekend, we kind of got hit with the wind and the cold weather.
Yeah, like last Thursday, like, man, it was like 70 plus beautiful. Degrees, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I was wearing like a t-shirt.
Yeah, the high in our area was 71.
Yeah.
Yep.
Friday was great too.
Friday was beautiful.
I was at a dealership all day. It felt great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Zach, congratulations to you. Yeah. Congrats.
Awesome news.
Thanks.
Yeah. Our own Zachary here is the proud new owner of a
2021 GMC Sierra. You're also lucky I let you say my full name.
Oh, come on now. I'll let you address me as Matthew one day. How's that sound?
I mean, it'd feel weird for me to address you as Matthew.
Okay.
I'm so used to saying Matt.
Well, whatever you want to do. All right, so moving on. Happy spring. We have another topic that we want to revisit previously to another podcast episode. And good thing is we're all caught up. We all kind of had a discussion about this. We have wrapped up on WandaVision. And, Jen, I know you want to talk about this because we kind of have to go back to that finale.
Yeah, we do.
Because our previous episode only concluded, what, episodes 1 through 8, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we kind of want to conclude on that. So let's get the talks going. Jen, I'll let you start. And then I'll definitely give my perspective. Zach, if you have anything to add to it, then we'll just chime in. So.
Yes, so I have to clear some things up. I will be the first to say that I was wrong about some things. Like, remember when I was talking about, like, the Darkhold and, like, so Wanda, we find out, was there, like, completely on her, like, own accords. And what I also guess I didn't realize when I was watching them, we, like, see her going through, like, the 5 stages of grief. Did you guys notice that?
I kind of got that. Like, it kind of felt like the whole, like, how they would kind of say, like, the 7 deadly sins or something.
Like, it was, like, denial and then eventually, like, depression and, like, acceptance. Like, we got to see her go through every single stage, like, throughout the episodes, which was, like, insane. I thought it was so well done.
But you know what, too? I think in that aspect, we kind of found that, being that she's been so hyped to be such a powerful, like, hero, you know, from the Avengers. I mean, we got that first glimpse when she was tearing apart freaking Thanos. I mean, she probably could have single-handedly beaten him.
Not probably. If, definitely. You know?
Definitely. Well, I agree.
I'd be willing to say definitely.
But it did show that she has weaknesses. And I think when she kind of revealed those, it did. There was, I'm not going to call it stalemate or anything like that, but there was definitely a weakening point there where I think not only was she battling judgment, but she was battling decision on her part, you know? I think at that point, yeah, it just increased and intensified so many things that she had to literally, you know, do I do this or do I do that? You know, like, I think she was put in that point where even the most powerful, they have a situation where they have to literally make choice and they have to make decision. And of course, towards the end of the episode, we saw what her ultimate choice was. Her decision was coming down to the fact that it wasn't going to exist. It wasn't going to work out. You know?
I liked some things about the finale. I disliked some things about the finale. Like, I'm annoyed that Evan Peters is just Ralph. He's not really, like, the Quicksilver from the X-Men, so I was, like, disappointed to see that.
So it doesn't make the connection to, like, the whole multiverse.
No. Yeah. So that was disappointing. Also, do you think... So, like, are we calling Vision Cataract now? Is that official? Because that's what he is?
I would think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And, like, I feel like you guys would be able to back me up on this one. But I think if we do see Paul Bettany as Cataract again, I don't think that, him and Wanda are going to, like, be together. Because whereas, like, you know, like, the created Vision from Wanda was, like, you know, like, her husband, and he gave the White Vision his memories and stuff, I feel like that Cataract is just looking at it as, like, a data transfer and not, like, his own memories. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if you tech guys would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some serious, like, AI involvement there. Like, and we all knew that from the beginning. I mean, Vision is an AI project, you know, created from Stark.
He was,
so, like, was. But, yeah, no, I could definitely see that. Like, I just don't think there's going to be an emotional connection. Like, if they reintroduced bringing him in, like, somewhere down the line in the storyline to bring in the Vision again, I just don't think it's going to be anywhere near the connection or the relationship that type of version of Vision is not going to pan out to Wanda.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I'm also going to have to agree with that. And I don't know, like, you know, for all of you Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. watchers, like, we got to see the Darkhold in person again.
Yeah.
So, that was cool.
Yep. I think, too, you know, I mean, if we go back to this episode, I mean, I'm not going to say, WandaVision was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was great, okay? I liked it, but of course, like you said, Jen, there's some things that I really disliked, because I really thought we could have made connection, especially with some of the Easter eggs that were dropped, you know, right in those last few episodes. Like, obviously being, you know, in the I don't want to call it the tomb, but the, what is it? The ruins, right? The ruins of the dark magic, or dark, what, help me out here. I can't remember what they actually refer to it in comics, but, I mean, Darkhold,
the book.
Is actually,
yeah, so
Darkhold is referenced as the book, but the ruins where Agatha takes Wanda.
Oh, that was, you know, like, the start of the Salem Witch Trials.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And I do like that connection, that we had history, real history of the witch history, kind of make connection into the Disney story of WandaVision. That did give it, obviously gave us a huge and great background to Agatha when she originated.
Yes.
But the one thing I was really, really dying for was that this could have been such a stellar point to bring in Mephisto.
Or even, I really think that's coming with the Multiverse of Madness. Is that what they're calling it?
Yep. Yeah. And we're obviously referring to that as the Doctor Strange part.
But, like, also at the end, after, you know, she flies away and she decides she's gonna go and learn about, you know, her powers, we see her on this mountain, and she's doing the astral projection like Doctor Strange did when he was, like, learning how to read everything. So she's doing the same thing with the Darkhold. So,
but go ahead.
So Do you think that's Wundagore Mountain, where she was, like, supposedly, like, really born and created?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Because that's what I think. So I think that's...
That's good... I never put that.
Yeah, so, like, that's where she... Like, her and Quicksilver were, like, created. Like, you know, like, with Magneto and everything. So I think she's there. I think that's how she got the Darkhold. And I think, eventually, down the road, Kython is coming. That's what I think is going to happen. Because he's... I think he's imprisoned there at the mountain, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Supposedly to the storyline. Yeah. To that storyline, yes. You were 100% right on that. And kudos to you, because that's like comic book research right there. The only other thing that I want to kind of piggyback on, and I want to jump on, Jen, because remember I mentioned that, like, it kind of killed me that, you know, once, because I didn't actually pick up on this. It was brought to my attention by a listener that listens to us every single week, and we're having a conversation, and he said, wait a minute. He said, this cabin looks way too familiar.
Yeah.
And the minute that he mentioned that, he's like, is this the cabin that Bruce, you know, we're talking Bruce Banner, the Hulk, was that the same cabin that he went to? Now, this is Edward Norton's film, not the Eric Banner.
Yeah.
You know, or Eric Banner, right? It would be, yeah, Eric Banner was in Hulk, the movie. But the Incredible Hulk was Edward Norton.
Correct.
Was that the same cabin that Wanda was in? And obviously at the end of, you know, Edward Norton's film, that's where he's sitting. We see him doing the meditation practice, pouring himself a tea. And, you know, they show him in meditation. And then all of a sudden his eyes turn green, where he's trying to obviously harness and control his power being the Hulk. And I really do.
I'm honestly going to have to go back and watch that, because I don't know. I don't remember snow, but okay. I could be full of shit with that.
Yeah, but at the same token, though, it kind of brings an interesting point, because I kind of want to make a connection here where maybe Hulk and Wanda actually have something in common.
Well, like, they do. They, you know, they work together, you know.
But here's the thing, though. If you think about it, right? The Hulk was in a very, you know, if we go back to what you mentioned about Wanda going through different stages of, you know, these, like, seven deadly sins or something like that. You know, Bruce was having a hard time of control, too, in the beginning.
Yes.
But eventually, he was able to harness it. He was able to control it. And we've learned that through the Avengers movies.
Yes.
Now, it didn't actually work out well for the second one, because he went, you know, completely apeshit over in, what was it? South Africa.
Yes.
That's when another dollar.
Drop.
That's an, oh, look at you. Oh. Look at you. completely caught off on that. Okay. So I have somebody tracking the dollars here. Well, that's what we're supposed to do.
I think I have two.
No, then. Wait, you have two?
Yeah. I said the S word.
Oh,
twice.
We got $3 then.
Yeah.
All right. We got $3 on the board in this episode. Perfect. That all comes out of my pocket. Anyway, yeah, I want to know if I really want to know if that cabin is the same exact one in the Incredible Hulk movie.
I'll go back and watch that, and I will check it out.
I just don't have access to it. If you have access to it, Jenna, please let me know.
Multiple copies, yeah.
Yeah, multiple you have versions. This is going to be our month-long conversation, so by the end of the month, we want to confirm that.
I don't think I'm going to get to it this weekend, though, because Justice League comes out, so I have to... We've been hyping Zack Snyder since, like, the day we started the podcast, and, like, did you guys see that the official Rotten Tomatoes score came out today?
No.
75%.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So, I don't want to say I have my hopes up, but I do. But, like, regular media outlets are saying that it's trash.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, like, I guess I'm not, like, surprised, but, like, I hope it's good. Because I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I kind of had that thought. I mean, I didn't think it was going to do too good, to be honest with you.
But, like, I don't know. I feel like 75 for a DC film is probably good, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, look at how many DC films have tanked
Compared
to the Marvel, the MCU.
Yes.
You know? I mean, you got to keep that in the back of your head, that MCU is paving the way here for our superhero movies.
Yes.
And really, I mean, if we think of any good movie that came out of DC's part.
Wonder Woman.
Number one, yeah, Wonder Woman was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
The second one, not so much. Not so much. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't hate it.
But it wasn't.
It was fun.
It wasn't great.
I thought it was fun.
Yep. And I'll even put in there, too. I think Aquaman was good, too.
Yeah, I did like that one.
Yeah.
There's actually more reviews are coming in, and a lot of people are saying that this is the version that we should have got in the first place.
Okay. So, see, I mean, that right there kind of details where, and I even said that, I think the original Justice League, it was so rushed, it was cookie cutter.
Yeah,
you know?
Can see where, like, Joss Whedon put his grubby little paws all over it.
Yep.
They just tried to make it like a Marvel film, and I just feel like it didn't work.
So to wrap up on WandaVision, though, Jen, right?
Yeah.
Can we all confidently say that, like, this is moving in, it's moving in a future direction that is definitely going to link up to Doctor Strange? And I
yes.
definitely do think it is.
Because right at the end there, we hear her kids yelling, "Mom." So,
yes.
All right, this is what my prediction is going to be, and I hope I'm wrong, because this is going to be completely gut-wrenching, but I think her kids are going to exist in another universe, and Wanda is not going to be their mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just, I just have a feeling that they're going to do
Holy
something
fuck.
Like twisted like that.
Another dollar.
No, like that's actually worth the dollar, because honestly, I did not even think about that.
That's the first thing I thought of. And, like, you know, like, she picks
wow.
her head up and I'm like, oh man, I'm like, these kids are going to be alive somewhere. And then it's going to turn out that, like, she's not their mom.
That is heavy.
Yes.
I'm actually using a Back to Future reference here.
Yeah.
That is friggin' heavy.
I just feel like the way that Marvel, like, says goodbye to, like, their children and their characters, mm-hmm. and, like, the way that she was like, thanks for choosing me to be your mom, and I'm just kind of like,
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was a little suspicious when I heard that.
Mm-hmm. So I just don't, I don't know.
That is, I'm telling you, I'm clapping over here. If anybody could hear that. No, I'm telling you, I did not even put that in my thought, because my thought was that the kids are obviously caught in another part of the universe.
Yeah.
Maybe she did actually make these, you know, being in WandaVision and being with Vision, you know? But the sacrifice of cutting it all off was obviously getting rid of the kids, too.
Well, I think that,
you know,
they are alive in a different universe, like, you know, as...
I do, too.
What are the names? Billy and Tommy?
Yep.
And I think they are alive, but Vision and Wanda are not their parents.
And they're not going
to
know that.
Exactly. So Wanda's going to show up to save the day, and then she's going to get, like, stabbed in the chest, because she's going to be like, oh, Billy and Tommy. And they're going to be like, lady, who are you?
And that might be a weakness to her, where now, like, if we talked about how in WandaVision, where she felt, like, grief, depression,
yeah.
that might actually weaken her.
Yeah.
At a point where something evil or something more sinister overpowers her.
Because, like, I just feel like the way that, like, when a Marvel character says, like, goodbye to their kids, like, we got, you know, Iron Man with I Love You 3000, and we
yep.
also got Michael Rooker in Guardians of the Galaxy, and, like, you know,
yep.
he said, what did he say, like, I'm so lucky that you're my boy, to Star-Lord.
Yep.
Like, just...
Yeah, because he felt like a father
yes.
figure.
Like, just, you know, the way that the parents say goodbye to their children, and like, you
yep.
know, she was like, thanks for choosing me to be your mom. Like, to me, that's right up there with those two.
And if anybody catches the reference to that, like... During his funeral procession
Yondu's,
there
yeah.
in the galaxy. Yeah, Yondu's funeral procession there in the galaxy where everybody shows up. They're playing a Cat Stevens song, which, I mean, if you look that up, that's about fathers
yes.
and, you know, your son,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yep. So just the way that parents say goodbye to their children is just...
I have chills. My God.
Gut-wrenching. And I don't know why. I just feel like in my gut that is coming. Because, like, I feel like that's going to be the connection to Doctor Strange, because she's going to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I remember, you know, Steven's a wizard, so let's go find Steven and, like, just be like, hey, teach me about the ways of the Marvel Force here, if you will. And that's, I think they're going to be, like, her kids are going to be the motivation and the connection to Doctor Strange.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. But my prediction is, and I'm gonna include that. I like that. It could be the possibility, but we're also going to see the, I mean, if they go the Doctor Strange route, which we know they are going, it's going to bring on, I mean, I think it's already been hinted that Mephisto's, I don't want to call it Creed, but there was a symbol in the ruins. If anybody remembers going back into that episode where she was actually harnessed by Agatha.
Okay.
What happened was, if you noticed the scriptures on the pillars, there was a capital M.
Oh, I did not. Okay.
The capital M, that's where I thought, my lord, are we actually dropping a hint of Mephisto there? Go back, people. Watch it. I swear there was a capital M on one of the, and I caught it. I went back multiple times to catch this. So Mephisto is definitely a candidate. He's lurking. Could be a possibility.
Okay.
Blackheart could be a capable storyline to it. And, of course, I'm not ruling out the possibility that this unlocks the worst of the worst. Dormammu.
See, I just really don't think they're going to revisit that.
I think they will, because Dormammu was a very important villain.
But we already saw him in Doctor Strange.
We did, but he was obviously, I don't want to call it enslaved or... what do you call that? Prisoned.
Yeah.
In the fourth
dimension. That was, that's where he lives.
In the fourth, right.
Yeah.
But could they pull him out of the dark dimension? I mean, it's quite possible.
Well, that's what Mads Mikkelsen's character literally did. And that's how Steven got him to stop, because he put that time loop thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he essentially tortured Dormammu for a gazillion million years until he agreed to leave Earth alone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that might be open and close, but if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong.
Either way, it sets up a really interesting storyline for the MCU to pursue.
I feel like there's so many ways that they could take this.
And that's why I said, even if you just go with the Mephisto storyline, or you go with the Blackheart storyline, or you go with Dormammu, maybe all three are combined, who knows? But it's very, very interesting. It definitely does open up a door of possibility.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
But with that being said, I mean, already we're kind of at our halfway mark here. True. In our episode. I think this would be a well-deserved area where we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we are going to talk a little bit more about our obviously big topics in pop culture. But the one that we're visiting is obviously based on our episode title, and that is the Cecil Hotel. And, of course, the big documentary series that Netflix put out on it. So I know Jen's really excited about talking about it because she's got such a background in the sciences, the biological, forensics. I mean, I can't wait to hear what your say is on all this, because, my God, talk about a series of bizarre events.
You're not going to like it. You're not going to like it.
Yeah, but usually what you say, I mean, when you talk about these topics, this is your forte.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Sit back, relax. If you have to go grab a drink, or if you have to let those waterworks loose, go do that. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
All right, guys. Welcome back from break. We are just getting ready to settle in for the second half of our program here. And we have a pretty interesting topic to talk about. I know Matt's real excited because it's a, conspiracy theory bait.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start with Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. Poor Elisa Lam was found in the water tanks at the Cecil Hotel. This was back in...
2012, right?
I don't remember the year.
Yeah, I think it was 2012.
Okay. No. Wait.
Yeah. I think it was 2012.
February 2013. So 2013. Okay.
Okay. So, but I mean, there was a long time there where her search was being conducted. So it probably could have happened in 2012.
I think that
maybe.
No. So she went missing on January 31st. And then she died on February 1st, based off of the autopsy reports. And I think they found her body in the water tanks 19 days later.
Either way, holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, Jen, I mean, I definitely want you to go through this, like, in your in-depth analysis. Well, like, I want you to...
I kind of would prefer you to talk about the conspiracies in the first, three episodes? Because, I was not familiar with this case at all. I was familiar with the location, like the Cecil Hotel.
Okay. So, see, that's where me and you have difference. I was actually familiar with this because I didn't make the connection that it was at Cecil Hotel. I knew of the story because it's been referenced so much in paranormal talk.
That makes sense.
And I'll kind of explain this because I don't want to take up too much time. Enlighten me here a little bit, okay, guys? The paranormal talk is always an interesting topic. And shout out to my buddy over there, Shane. You know, the UF bros and everything like that. You know, we talk about them all the time because, you know, they're great at what they do. And they, of course, they respect the paranormal studies as well. And as you guys remember, going back to a previous episode where Shane was mentioning about buying it was a picture of a lady. Yeah. And they thought that there was a spiritual connection to it. And he had somebody come and do a reading on it. And they did. The medium that actually came in viewed it and said that, yeah, there is definitely a presence here. And, you know, the best thing for you to do is leave the picture be, hang it, and let her enjoy it. Let it be. Don't disrupt it. But even in the situation when they had this, when this first came out, I think I remember seeing this on, it wasn't Ghost Nation. I think it might have been the Ghost Adventures with Zach Baggins or Baggins. And, you know, they had this story where, and I'm pretty sure there's even an episode where they got to go through the Cecil Hotel. It might be one of their more recent episodes on Discovery Plus. But there was speculation that there was some paranormal incident there. And the conspiracy behind it is that if you watch the video of what happened in that time lapse where she was caught in the elevator, she kept on creeping out, kind of so looking in both directions.
Yeah, so yep, this the video went viral.
The video is the conspiracy part, yes. Because the video kind of makes everybody wonder, well, was somebody after her?
Well, so, like, to
was
me...
Was she on the look?
When I looked, go ahead, when I watched the video, like, it does look like there could be a shoe out there. It does. But then,
okay,
like...
Okay, and that's that little clip
that
where
little
they...
That little tiny, like... Yes. It almost looks like the tip of, like, a Converse.
Right, like a front lobe of a shoe.
Yes. And, like... Yep. All right, so that I will give the conspiracy theorist. But, like, when people are, like, she was possessed and she was doing, like, witch movements and stuff. And I'm like, give me a break. Like, no.
Well, yeah, the witch movements, I mean, the witch movements, I would totally dismiss. The satanic or I don't even want to say satanic, but I would probably say the evil spirit aspect of paranormal. I mean, that could have been doable, and that maybe could have fit the position of the story, where maybe it could have been part of it. I mean, because they have noted many times that people that visit the Cecil Hotel, you know, it's not your normal clientele that would check in for a family visit there. They've had a lot of strange and a lot of, very vicious, very, how can I say this, harmful, you know, clientele. Where, you know, you have drug dealers, you have murderers, you have, like, there's just a lot of suspicious activity. And it's been proven because, obviously, within the storyline, I mean, look at the one that was convicted. He was the murderer. I can't remember what he was actually detailed or what his name was, but there's that famous clip where they have him in the courtroom at his end of the hearing, and the last words of his hearing is, "Hail Satan." And here he was staying at the Cecil Hotel.
Oh, the Night Stalker.
The Night Stalker.
Yeah.
And this was a guy who preached the satanic arts, the dark art, you know. And again, I mean, it was very compelling that maybe something paranormal could have possessed her. And that's obviously a conspiracy, but it does feed into the paranormal audience where obviously it does give us that, you know, that thought. Was there maybe something paranormal that influenced her to do the things that she was caught on tape doing? I mean, it was very weird. I mean... her body language just did not look anything normal. And even when she was kind of waving forward, it kind of looked like maybe she was trying to contact or maybe try and touch something in front of her or feel something in front of her, you know. And then that's where I kind of linked that up to, too, where she's looking outside of the elevator. Maybe something is after her. Maybe she had that feeling. Maybe she had that presence. So that right there is the paranormal conspiracy. And obviously, if anybody is hearing this podcast episode, you'll agree with me that this has been mentioned on paranormal shows. It actually was on Paranormal Caught on Camera because they went back to that camera thing, and a lot of people speculated that if not murdered, it probably was something paranormal. And of course, those audiences believing in that were definitely abiding by it because that's what they studied. That's what they really, they hope for. It's not so much a cryptid incident, but it's a spiritual incident. And again, that's where we leave it at the paranormal aspect, that could it have been something evil, an evil presence possessing her to do the things and, of course, lead her to her death. Now, the second conspiracy, which Jenna kind of already outlined here, where both me and her, we have seen this clip, and I don't dismiss this, because I definitely think that that could have been a shoe caught in that camera pitch.
Yeah.
And, but of course, the big thing that people fight about that is that the camera is completely offset in time and sequence. You know, it's kind of like JavaScript, you know, like if somebody's programming something into it and it's not up to par and it's not up to time and sequence, it's not going to work. And maybe because of maybe the camera malfunctioning, they did rule that out to be a possibility where maybe it was just a glitch in the camera feed. Again, could be a possibility. But I definitely think for how the movement was, where we saw that kind of come into camera focus, there was definitely an object there. There was definitely an object seen. And of course, people would say, well, how do you know it was definitely a shoe? You know?
You don't.
I mean, it's the shape.
There's definitely I think it's a shoe. But like, do I think that it's somebody that, I don't know, like was like out there to harm her? I don't know. It's just some her weirdo social media wacko was kind that's of at the hotel. Yeah. Who knows?
But that's the thing, though. Like, we can't. You know, the hardest thing about understanding is this: that she had such a presence on her social media, posting and putting these statuses out, and wanting to meet people. You know, it was kind of that was a creepy sense too, because I mean, who's to say that maybe she was in contact with somebody during her visit out there? And maybe this person that maybe she was visiting or maybe having interaction with, maybe that was the one that killed her, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, but it's completely a possibility. Well, it is.
That's where you're not going to like, I don't think she was killed. That's where you're not going to like my point right. of view.
Right. And I know exactly where you're going to be going, but let me just kind of go back into the third conspiracy part.
Yeah, sure.
When they mentioned Lisa Lamb,
yep.
Okay, if anybody goes back, okay, into the science part where they went through, well, actually, I don't even want to call it the science part. They were kind of going back into her education record, where she was from, where she graduated from. They were making all these weird connections. And I believe she graduated from a college out in Canada.
She did.
Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So, the funny thing about this college is where she graduated from, it was literally, you know, there was a research focus in tuberculosis, TB. And they made a connection there where the Lisa Lam name, if you took it backwards, and what did they called it? The Lam-Liam test? It's a test that they would have used in tuberculosis, or I can't even say the name.
But it's always called that.
It was always called that.
Yeah.
But how weird of a coincidence that her name is Lisa Lam.
I get that. Like, I get
that. And there's that's the conspiracy where, was this something biological? Was she a test subject that went wrong? Was she intended to do something harmful being out there in California? That was something that was kind of stressed in the documentary where, wow, they made a connection to this. And again, I mean, there's not enough evidence to kind of prove that. I mean, it's just speculation and it's coincidence. I coined it at coincidence. It's coincidence. But a very creepy one at that being indeed. And of course, we put that into third category for the conspiracy part. Conspiracy is that maybe it has something to do with something infectious, spreading it, and of course her being the subject to do so. So those are the three areas of conspiracy that I'm going to line up. I'm going to put the conspiracy of the paranormal, the conspiracy of murder, and the conspiracy of, obviously, an intended incident gone wrong.
Okay.
So you did ask me to go through the conspiracy parts.
I did.
That's me kind of summing that up real quick. And if anybody watches the series, they will know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, watch it. It's not that big of a series. You'll understand
episodes.
Exactly what we're referencing. Okay, so now I'm more intrigued about your part. So what do you want to say about it, Jen?
All right, well, there was the one conspiracy thing that you missed with that guy from the death metal band.
Ah!
So, like, there was, I don't know, Morbid? Was his name Morbid?
Morbid.
So he's, like, the lead singer of, like, a death metal band, and it just so happened that, like, coincidentally, like, some of his lyrics, like, kind of, like, matched up with, like, Elisa's situation, which was, like, super duper, like, freaky, but, like, apparently, like, you know, all the internet sleuths, they started, like, attacking him because he killed Elisa.
Real quick, I think they made that as an after connection because when this incident occurred and
when everybody was digging up, you know, the dirt.
Yeah,
on
this
the case.
Isn't pre. This is post. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, the internet sleuths trying to make, like, you know, grasping for any straws. And I don't know. I just thought that one was kind of, like, wackadoo out there, too.
Can I ask you a question?
She sure can.
No, I'm dead serious because I'm really intrigued in this because you know how much I'm involved with, like, information technology, computer science, social media. You know, when we hear Morbid's part of the story, when they have that interview, number one, I think it was courageous for him to actually come forward.
On camera, I agree.
Yeah,
I mean... for him a little bit, too.
I did. And that's exactly my question. I kind of agree with him. You know, if you want to call it death metal or black metal, whatever you want to consider the term to be, we do know that term is literally a gimmick. And most of the time, it's an act. You know? They don't really mean anything by it. They feed into that act. They feed into that gimmick just because, again, it's heavy metal. It's dark. It's heavy. And sometimes even within those situations where even we think that it's the worst situation, it's not exactly what we think. It's a story by comparison. It's a story of expression. And that's where I kind of got the respect for it because I could actually relate to this. Being in a heavy metal band back in my days, you know, a lot of the stuff that we wrote was by expression. You know, we released an album. We didn't go anywhere. You know, we're not famous. Nobody probably knows it. But we played with the heavy metal gigs. We played with heavy metal shows. We got to open up for some hair metal bands.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't good enough. But we know the scene. We love the music, the thrash metal, the heavy stuff. And I kind of understood where this guy was coming from, that he was taking an expression, he was taking a gimmick, and he was putting it into his perspective. He was using that as his work of art. And I think that's where he was trying to explain himself. Like, I think this completely went wrong. And like you said, Jen, I literally felt bad for this guy because everything that he worked for, it got crushed. He lost his social media presence. All of his followers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this was his idea of, you know, maybe it was income for him. Maybe it was a project that he was doing year by year by year. Either way, it totally went south on him, backfired, and look what it did to the poor guy.
Right.
You know? There was no connection. And I guarantee you, this guy was not. It was by coincidence that he showed up at the Cecil Hotel. He stayed there during a time period, which I think even at that point, they think that it wasn't even in connection to the time that Lisa Lamb did stay there.
Right.
So, I mean, I kind of felt bad for this guy. I mean, yeah, social media tore him apart. And this is what we're kind of seeing right now in today's culture. I mean, not going to go there, but I mean, we see how social media could be the impact of such a voice where if one person says something, 1,000 people and then 1,000 upon that could actually go and keep this going and going and going. And I think that's exactly what happened, being that it was such a tough subject online. It was a tough subject being investigated. You know, they linked it, they targeted him, and it just went south. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, my question to you was going to be the fact that, like, did you think that he had any connection to it?
No. No, I think that was sheer dumb luck. And bad
timing.
So
another case of coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the coincidence that we just talked about before, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, another case of coincidence.
So, you're not going to like this part, and I know that, but... So, on episode 4, they kind of go through, like, the autopsy and, like, what could have happened. And, like, I'm going to tell you this right now, because I just wanted to make sure that, like, nothing was afoot. I found her autopsy report.
Okay.
It's public knowledge, so, like, you can go through the...
You can find
dark it bowels of the internet and find it. So I found it and I read it cover to cover. It's like just south of 30 pages. And here's the thing. There's nothing here on the body that really decrypts that there would be any sort of foul play. There's nothing.
Okay, can you kind of just explain that to the audience? Like, what would you consider foul play?
Like, there's no bruises, there's no bumps, there's no, like...
Abrasions?
No, all right, so there is one abrasion, and it's on her left leg, like, right below her knee, like, right there at the shin. Which, I feel like, could coincide with, like, climbing up the ladder, and, like, maybe she brushed her knee getting in the tank.
Or maybe banged it going into it.
Yeah. Like, I don't think... Like, what I really think happened is that because... So, there's a toxicology report. And it does say that she was on, like, you know, some psych meds to treat, like, she's diagnosed bipolar. So, like, I... Like, without, you know, knowing that she had bipolar disorder, like, she's taking some, like, antidepressant and some other, like, psych meds. So, to me... Like, because we've talked about bipolar, you know, on the podcast before, you have extreme highs and extreme lows. And, like, if she wasn't properly, like, taking her medication, like, while she was on vacation away from her parents, like, I don't know, did she want to, like, let loose and drink and have a good time? Like, I can't answer any of those questions. But if she was underdosing herself, then... That's obviously going to put your chemicals in your brain out of whack. So was she at either an extreme high or an extreme low? And she, you know, was like, you know what? I'm going to go swimming in the water tank on the roof. Because here's the other thing. Like, I wouldn't have known that there were water tanks on the roof. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how... I mean, I know that there's air conditioning units. I know that there's power and electrical systems located on the roof. But, I mean, you know, sometimes I would think that water systems are located underground.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, my thing is that I don't think she went up there for the specific reason to get in the water tank. Because as the hotel manager said, that, like, you know, on the inside of the hotel, going out to the rooftop, it's, like, locked and armed. And, like, somebody would have known she was out there. So she used the fire escape to climb onto the roof, which is insane.
Okay.
Like, you are how many stories up and you are going to climb to the roof of a hotel in Los Angeles. Like, how does a normal person that does not have mental issues justify that? You don't.
And that's really... Well, no, you don't.
You don't.
And the interesting part to that, too, though, Jen, when they mentioned about her climbing that ladder, there was a lot of possibility that she could have fell because there was no guided or barrier kind of hold her in the ladder.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
It's literally just a ladder that goes straight up to the roof with, like, you know, the arms that go over the side, like a pool ladder.
And that's one area that I actually, again, I'm not a professional here. I don't know, you know, anything about medical diagnosis. I can't really preach about the whole bipolar illness. But, you know, if anybody, I mean, I would think even in myself, if I was in a drunk state, a sober state, or, you know, whatever, climbing a ladder like that, I mean, you take huge risk. And I mean, under the condition that she might be with, a lot of overwhelming sensation, a lot of overwhelming emotions going on.
Yeah.
She could have been typically the person to fall off that ladder.
Yeah.
You know?
You could have.
And I know that you're going to say otherwise because you read the report.
I did.
You know it a little bit more in depth than I do. I still think that there's that possibility that there's the open idea of that she might have been murdered.
But how though, Matt? There's no, like, blunt force trauma anywhere on the body. There's nothing in the toxicology report. Like, there's no pooling of blood. There's no marks. There's no nothing. And, like, I hate to say it, but, like, I don't think 19 days in a tank is going to decompose the body as quickly as it's, like, unidentifiable.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, like, you see, like, people get pulled out of, like, rivers or washed ashore and things like that. Like, I don't think, you know, 19 days is going to completely disrender the body to be able to find some of that. Because, like, there was some, like, marbling, like, in her abdomen, which, like, that's, like, where, like, you can see the, like, your veins. Like,
yeah.
Through your skin because it's not alive anymore. So, like, you could see where, like, you know, there was some marbling and, like, there was, like, you know, like, they call it, like, skin slippage. But it's, like, when it's, like, too waterlogged. So, like, it was starting. So, like, it was in early stages of decomposition.
Okay.
But there's literally not a scratch on her body except for that little abrasion on her shin. That's it. And there was no sexual assault. There was nothing. Because, like, all of that stuff also gets checked.
Yeah, no, and that's clarified, too, in the documentary, mm-hmm. the series. All right.
There's nothing
so
under her fingernails. Like, nothing. There's nothing anywhere. So my guess is that once she got to the roof, she saw the water tanks and maybe thought it was a good idea to go inside of it. I don't know. Did she fall into it and that's why she has the abrasion and that's why the lid was closed? I don't know. But I would think that if the water tank was full, she would have been able to reach the latch and get out. But if the water tank was below that level, there would be no other way that you'd be able to get out unless it was full.
But here's the conspiracy part. I mean, I guess we could go back to conspiracy.
Go ahead.
Is that when investigation was occurring, when police were on site, whether you, I mean, I guess at this point you call it crime scene investigation, CSI. You know, here they are on the roof, and they verified that the lids were closed.
Yes.
There was no open lid.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, did she fall in and the lid closed behind her?
It's a possibility.
And, like, everybody's like, well, why was she wearing no clothes? So here's the thing. Just put yourself in this situation. If you fell into one of these water tanks, all you are doing is treading water. All of the clothes that you're wearing are weighing
it adds
down.
Weight. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like she started taking everything off just so she didn't get, you know, like, she didn't drown. And then eventually, like, I feel like you just get so tired. And, like, you know, they did find fluid in her lungs. So, like, it is a drowning.
It's interesting. It is. Zach, did you watch the series or no?
I have not.
Okay. The only thing, again, that's the part that's kind of curious, is that this wasn't identified previously in the point of investigation. It definitely, it does. It just makes you question. It makes you question that there could be another possibility, and there could be something more far-fetched than we could think of. And I do agree with you almost to 100% that this was just a simple case of somebody gone wrong off medication, gone wrong off of their, I guess, would you call it disorder?
What, bipolar?
Jen?
Yeah, bipolar disorder. Correct, yeah.
So maybe this is something influential based on the medical diagnosis of her disorder, and it occurred like this, but I don't know. I mean, I think there's more to it. I really do. I'm kind of with, and I know, like, the online community strives for that because I don't know if it's just a high that they want to keep on hearing about. They want more answers. They want more resolution. But it just, it's very far-fetched. And, again, watching this series, you know, from point A to point Z, it's just so bizarre with so many different types of connection. Whether you want to consider the connections to be conspiratorial or whether it be scientifical.
I'd also like to know why there were no cameras on the roof.
That's a good question.
You know?
And apparently, too, right? You would think that an alarm would go off for an emergency door if somebody accessed the roof of your building.
Yeah, but if you climbed up via the fire escape, I don't know. I just feel like there should have been cameras so something crazy like that is monitored. Or, like, a surrounding building didn't have, like, a view. I don't know. I just think it's weird that there's no, like, footage of the rooftop.
Yeah. It's definitely crazy. It's definitely crazy. But, yeah, I guess that's where we you know,
yeah, it's just
we
an keep unfortunate it. Situation.
Yeah, and I think that's why, honestly, I think that's where I'm not skipping words, I'm not trying to think, but, like, that's where I'm at. Like, I think it's just it's a series of unfortunate events, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think what really happened here, whether it be, you know, if people think it this way, if it's this way or that way, regardless of the matter of how she got there and was discovered, you know, I would put my trust and I would put every belief that, you know, if it was done by the coroner's office, if it was done with the autopsy, it would reveal some definition. And definition meaning that they found the findings that they needed to conclude on that. But it's just, it's a point where there's just other questions before the autopsy. And that's what I keep backtracking to. I keep kind of thinking that, you know, it just doesn't match up with the door. It just doesn't match up with the setting. Like you said, there's no cameras on the roof.
Yeah.
And even if she did take that way on the fire escape, I mean, being in that type of disorder, I mean, there probably could have been more potential for her falling off that ladder.
Exactly.
And keeping her balance.
Exactly. I agree with that.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think if you're in that state of mind, I mean, you'd be pretty vulnerable to a high fall.
I agree.
I don't know. It's bizarro. It is completely bizarro.
And, like, speaking of bizarro, there's a TikToker. So, I love TikTok. It's, like, one of my new obsessions.
Keep going.
But his name is Pete, and that's P-E-E-T, Pete. I'm going to butcher this, but it's Montzingo, M-O-N-T, Z like zebra, I-N-G-O. And he lives across the street from the hotel.
Interesting.
So, he, like, in his TikTok videos, he does and like he's been interviewed by like news stations and stuff. Like, go check out his TikTok and like you can watch his videos, because the last thing that I saw is that he was supposed to have been allowed to go film in the hotel for like 30 minutes. But I don't think that ever happened. But he was trying to fly a drone across into one of the open windows.
Really?
Yes, because like apparently like the lights will randomly be on, or like windows will be open, and like I'm sure that there's probably like homeless people, like they got in there somehow. Like, that's probably my theory. But like, how does the building still have power if it's closed?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's kind of funny that, I mean, we know right now the Cecil Hotel is not in operation.
No, it's not. It's closed.
So, does that kind of explain our paranormal aspect?
That's what you're gonna think, but no.
I mean, I kind of want to stay true to that, because honestly, you know, watching these TV, and of course that's probably the point where people would be like, that's the problem, Matt. You're watching these TV shows. They'll tell you anything to believe that. But how do you explain it, though? I mean, that's where I'm saying it's such a bizarre aspect.
Yeah, that's why Pete was supposed to go and investigate for us. So keep your eyes peeled for that, too.
I mean, kind of weird that, like, okay, lights are on. I mean, and that's one thing I would want to question about Pete. You know, as he's living across the street, is the hotel in complete darkness and you're only seeing lights on in certain rooms? Like, that right there would be, that's pretty creepy.
It's not in certain rooms. It would be like random rooms.
I don't know,
a different light the next, the fan will be on in one room. So, like, he wanted to go investigate, and, like, I think he's still trying to get the details worked out, but you should check out his TikTok and see his videos. He's pretty good.
Wow.
It's entertaining, none the least.
Okay.
So.
I'm definitely going to do that. I'm definitely going to check his TikTok out.
Yeah, you should. It's fun. TikTok is fun in general.
Well, I mean, I think this is great. I think we kind of conclude that with the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah.
And again, if anybody has not watched this series,
it's pretty good.
It is. It's really good. Even though that we kind of went through, like, I mean, sorry that we spoiled it, but it's definitely worth watching, because I think you'll generate a different perspective than what we just kind of gave you guys tonight.
Agree.
It is. I mean, again, they might actually agree that it might be something paranormal. It might be a murder, or it might be her disorder. Either way, how you think about it, it is definitely just bizarro. But one other thing that I want to kind of ask, because we're on the topic, is there any places that we could think of, weird places that we have stayed, we have checked in, you know, maybe vacations, maybe, you know, getaways. Is there any places that we have checked in that we could think of that might have some bizarro emphasis?
It's a negative for me. I read the reviews.
That's a negative for you?
And make sure not to stay in sketchy places.
Yeah. Okay, so you're pretty much reading those Google reviews, huh?
Yeah, I do. I don't stay in creepy places. Pass. Hard pass.
How about
pass
you, Zach?
Yeah, Zach, I don't really stay in creepy places either.
No? Can't think of any place that you've stayed creepy? No?
Nope.
Okay.
I've been to the Radisson, if you want to count that. It's supposedly haunted, I guess.
Well, I was going to say, I know that it had the speculation on certain rooms. And that was probably the only thing that I was going to mention. I mean, for me, being that it wasn't creepy, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we love to go to Salem, Massachusetts.
Right.
And the only place that we will ever consider staying is in Center City, Salem, where the Hawthorne Hotel exists. The Hawthorne Hotel is very historic. It's very, very old school. And if you've never stayed there, I recommend it. I mean, it's such a great experience. It's beautiful.
See,
elegant.
I go to Boston, then I just take the train.
And then you take the train over to it.
Yeah,
I don't
stay in
Salem. See, we're the opposite. We go to Salem, and then we take the train to Boston.
Yeah.
But that would probably be And I'm not saying by experience, but like, if I was to say that we stayed in a creepy spot, we were literally a floor up above where Paranormal Activity has actually occurred. And the funny thing is that these rooms that people actually rent out for the Hawthorne Hotel, they're actually booked way in advance. I mean, you're probably looking at a year to 2 years to get a booking. And there's certain, and again, you could look this up, I'm not joking, there are certain rooms and certain floors in the hotel that there has been paranormal experiences. And fortunately, thank God, my wife and I, we have not experienced anything. We, our stays at the Hawthorne Hotel have been very positive. So thank you. Thank you, Hawthorne Hotel, if you guys are going to be listening to this. But I mean, we'll continue going there, but it's the fact of the matter is that those rooms exist where they think paranormal experiences, are obviously occurring. People keep going to it and they want to research that. And I think that's kind of a cool thing around the Halloween vibe that, you know, around these time frames when they want to research it from early August to, you know, late November. That's where you're having a hard time getting these rooms where people are literally going in there investigating the floor and investigating the rooms. So that's probably the creepiest place that I've visited. Outside of that, I would probably say it would be the original site visit of the Salem Witch Trials, where, you know, and I do believe that. I mean, you know, from what they talk about, where you have to go to see the memorial. Well, once you go past the memorial, if you keep going up the street, there's a hill which is actually guarded by police. And they try to keep people out of there because they consider that to be respective ground. They don't want a lot of tourist attraction up there because they've had a lot of issue, you know? And I remember going there on a walk. My wife was taking a nap and I said, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to see if I can get to this hill where they said the origination was. And even, I don't know if it's just the thought that's in your head at that time because you know, and people from what they've explained, it just kind of seemed like, you know, the air was completely calm. Like, it just, that was a weird place to visit. Besides the hotel with, you know, the story behind it, you know, going to this visit where the memorial was and walking up this hill and going into the grounds, it just seemed like, you know, yeah, there's something eerie about it. Like, if this is what they claimed, that this was the origination, the original site where they hung or they pressed somebody for witch trial, it's just kind of creepy that you're walking that ground, you know? And of course, back in the Salem witch trials days, you know, I mean, looking back at it, I mean, witchcraft is, of course, based on that time period. I mean, there was no evidence. There was no proof. You know, I mean, we don't know. There's no video recordings. There's no audio. There's no imagery, except if somebody drew it. But you got to remember, I mean, does this mean that these Salem witch trials were putting innocent people to their death? Because of it was based on speculation or based on somebody, what they thought about someone, you know? So I think that was probably the creepiest spot that I've ever visited, that hill where the origination of the trials went. And of course, staying at the Hawthorne Hotel, being that we were a floor above some of the haunted rooms. And that's pretty much all I'm going to pretty much conclude there.
Okay.
You know?
Roll with it.
We'll roll with it. But yeah, other than that, though, I think that's all we have for the night. I look forward to next week. I think we're going to dive into some music. So I think we're going to get into some Rob Zombie with his new album coming. Well, yeah, it already came out.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, though, yet. So that's good.
Yep. Yeah, I think we're going to press into that next week. And I'd like to touch base, of course, I mean, leaking into it. I'd like to dive into some music next week. And you'll find out that our episode for episode 43, it's going to be music-oriented. So we'll definitely have some music conversation coming up. Corey Garrick, I know that you messaged me on Facebook. We're definitely going to be talking about some stuff because, again, I've listened to the Rob Zombie album. I want my other counterparts here to do the same thing before we have an episode on it. I think it's friggin' fantastic.
I'm sure it is. I like his stuff.
And I love Rob Zombie. And this is not a bad Rob Zombie production. I just want to put it out there. I think it's great. It's not the best of his material, but it's great.
Okay.
So stay tuned. We'll definitely get into that. So, Jen, if you want to kind of sign us off here for the night, I think we're ready to roll.
Yeah, so everybody, remember to go and sign up for the tournament at Electric City Esports. That will be coming out Thursday from 4 to 7. That's Thursday, March 18th. And you can go and sign up at, I lost the page here, but it is esportsstation.net. So that's where you're going to pay your entry fee. And then, you know, you can stream on Twitch with them live 4 to 7 on Thursday. So good luck to everybody who's entering in the tournament. Remember that Sean's podcast is coming out soon, which we'll be in touch about once we get the details from him. And as always, thank you for listening. Everybody should check out our Facebook page because Matt's obsessed with it.
Yeah, we gotta get that Facebook page going.
Go stop over there, give us a like, share us with your friends, continue to listen to our episodes. We appreciate it. Zach, thanks for being with us tonight.
No problem.
And yeah, we will catch you guys next week. Stay safe, everybody. I'm a little bit of a pet, you can take it off, you can tie it around.